Last time on This Week in Geek, Vegeta had his sights squarely upon Mike the Birdman Dodd. Can maximum nerdosity win against the Prince of All Saiyans? Find out at thisweekingeek.net.
Did you grow up with a NES, PlayStation, Star Wars cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. This Week in Geek. This Week in Geek.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to This Week in Geek, and I'm, of course, your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. And today, guys, is the topic show for the month of August. We are looking at Nickelodeon's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles new cartoon series. But before we start the show, I do have to send a wonderful thanks out to our sponsors of OffWorldDesigns.com. Use promo code BROHOOF to get 10% off your entire order. That's good for international as well. Audible.com, GameAccess.ca, NobleKnight.com, proud sponsors of These Warriors Are Terrible, which is now over at CNG, I think, or TheseWarriorsAreTerrible.com, OneUpYourLife.com, SFI.org, Starfleet, the world's largest Star Trek online fan club, and BigAndTallMart.com, where you can use the code Geek10, you get 10% off your entire order of $50 or more. But I'm not alone. As we take a look at these Heroes in a Half Shell, I'm joined by my intrepid prototype co-host,
Jamie J.J. Johnston.
And it's not Twig recently without my able-bodied youthful ward,
David Dennis.
Yes. That is Scott Bordas.
Just it's actually so Andrew Roebuck.
And we know Scotty from the Weird and Wacky Movie Madness. So before we start the show today, before we talk about the Nickelodeon new TMNT series, got to send a couple of rather large shout-outs to people that helped make this show possible. Most notably to Carl Aronian, who is the Chief Turtle Officer over at Playmates, and Paula, who sent us some awesome samples of the entire line today. Really going to be talking about some of the toys there. And actually, we have an interview later in this show with Carl talking about some of the new toys that are coming out and have come out and things to look forward to in 2014.
They're really cool.
I'm super hyped for some of the things that are coming for 14. We also have to thank Tanya over at Nickelodeon, who hooked us up with a really cool interview, which you're going to hear next week, with some Canadian developers who are developing a new TMNT video game that almost nobody seems to know about.
It's not the Out of the Shadows one. It's actually another one. I had no idea, and I'm the Turtles guy.
Yeah.
Into the Shadows.
Yeah, Into the Shadows. That's where it should have stayed. Look for a rat on that next week.
Anyway.
me and Jamie will have vastly different opinions on this one.
I like it.
It could be E.T. with a turtle's mask.
Honestly,
like it.
The way I see it, for fans of TMNT, it's $15, so just try it and have your own opinion.
If it's terrible, $15, go to Playmates and buy one of those super articulated figures.
Okay, I can't say. Yeah, because those things are just really awesome.
Yeah.
So and I can't say not to spend $15.
We're definitely going to talk about those later in the show. But before we go any further, guys, before we start talking about TMNT 2012, here are just the facts. Booyakasha! Welcome out, my fellow mutants, to the topic show for the month of August. And in this show, we are celebrating the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. A few years ago, when we last looked at the Heroes in a Half Shell, a new series had been announced, and the comics were just making a big comeback, and the toys were once again back on shelves. Well, what has happened to the franchise since we last looked? The rights were purchased by Viacom, and a new CGI show would be developed by Nickelodeon for air in 2012. The series wanted to stand on its own by establishing its own feel to the world, but acknowledging sources like the 2003 series' more serious tone, but also the light, jokey feel of the 1987 series. Season 1 premiered on September 29th, 2012, and was tremendously well-received by critics and fans alike. The show is Nickelodeon's top-rated premiere for an animated series since 2009. During its premiere weekend, the series, which aired multiple times, reached nearly 12 million total viewers. Many of the episodes also made IGN Editor's Choice during their broadcast. The series was picked up for a second and third season before the end of the first's initial run. A new crop of voice actors would be introduced, with big names such as Jason Biggs, known for his work on the American Pie movies as Leonardo, Sean Austin, known for Lord of the Rings and 24 as the hot-headed Raphael, Greg Sipes, whose body of work includes Teen Titans and Super Robot Monkey Team Hyper Force Go, try saying that 10 times fast, as Michelangelo, and we would see the return of Rob Paulsen, but he would be voicing Donatello as opposed to Raphael. Casting would also include Mae Whitman of Arrested Development fame, and even Lex Luthor himself, Clancy Brown, as the henchman Dog Pound, and Kevin Michael Richardson as Shredder, and oddly enough, Roseanne Barr as Krang Prime. Familiar enemies like Baxter Stockman, the Rat King, and even enemies becoming friends like Leatherhead have all made appearances on the show. In the upcoming series, we fully expect to see characters such as the Fugitoid, Casey Jones, and even Irma, and the return of the original 1987 Turtles for a one-hour special, which will air in the second season. Toys are back on the shelves in various scales, and even an updated playset based upon the lair from the show. The toys show the updated art design and updated vehicles such as the Shell Razor, the Stealth Bike, and many others. Playmates continues to hold the license and has plans for the line to continue to evolve as the show does. Comic books continue from IDW in a new movie which comes out from Michael Bay's production company in August of next year. It's a good time to be a Turtles fan and a great time to pull in a younger generation into the characters we love so much in the late 80s and early 90s and show them a world of wonders with cowabunga and pizza, or as I now say, Booyakasha. Today we celebrate the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles here on This Week in Geek's topic show for the month of August.
So, those were some awesome facts, eh?
See, I really like doing research for the show, just the fact that I do get to find out some interesting people who've been on the show. I've never heard of the guy who does Splinter's voice, Hoon Lee, but I really like his portrayal in the show. Also, it took me a while to figure out...
The new Splinter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also took me a while to figure out how to pronounce Greg Sipes' name. Like, I was looking on YouTube for like half an hour, thinking, will somebody please say his name? and
your luck, the person that does say it says it wrong.
Yeah.
And then you say it wrong, too.
Yeah, so if I've gotten your name wrong, Greg, I'm really sorry. And then I was talking with Scotty over Facebook this week, and we were saying, oh, awesome, Clancy Brown's in this. I totally thought he was the Shredder.
I did it first, and I was like, wait, the voices are different. And I'm like, happy Halloween, ladies.
And, yeah, so I'm really happy that the series' first season has just come to an end back on August 8th, I think, was the one-hour finale, or two half-hour episodes.
I ended up seeing it later. I didn't get to...
I just finished doing the research for this show about 24 hours ago.
Well, you're crazy.
Powering through this series... Actually... What we're going to talk about now, as we often do after Just the Facts, because Scotty's used to this, but this is your first kind of rodeo, is we share our initial thoughts of the franchise or the topic here. And one of the things I'm going to say about the new show, Scotty, if you remember when we recorded this way back in the day, I was really skeptical of this. I remember watching the trailer for the 2012 show. I thought it looked like a bad PlayStation 2 video game.
Well, everyone was very skeptical when they heard that it was sold to Nickelodeon and they're doing a new show at first.
Yeah, we're like, I don't know, computer animation. But then again, you look at how far certain shows have come.
I think it's funny because I was one of the few people that I know that actually was like, I kind of like this art style. It's interesting and different. And everybody else is like, they look like clay and it's weird and blah, it's not the original Turtles. And it's like, okay, well, obviously it's not the original Turtles.
It took me a few episodes for it to kind of grow on me. The Turtles designs I like. Some of the bad guys, I'm not a huge fan of the way Dog Pound looks.
Mm-hmm.
For example, that's the character voiced by Clancy Brown.
The Kerrigan.
He feels a lot more rock-like.
Yeah, that's it.
I think they're going for that because he's so muscular and all that, but his actual like thorns and stuff that are coming out of him once he's...
mutated.
Well, spoilers alert.
Yeah, well,
but
yeah, heavy spoilers for the only season of the show, guys.
Yeah. Well, we won't spoil the end of it, I guess.
Yeah.
Probably. Maybe. We might accidentally do it.
But yeah, there's like... One of the things I found out in this while watching the show in almost marathon. Like one day I did 12 episodes, then I just did like 10 the next day, then I finished it up with the finale yesterday. I will say this about the show. It is remarkably well-paced.
I really enjoy it.
Like, I was never bored. There are a few episodes you could, in theory, skip. But at the same time, this is what I like about this Turtle series. It actually does have that episodic television feel. And what I mean by that is, it's like Star Trek in the regards that the characters are constantly developing and they reference little things that may have happened in a previous episode without going, oh, by the way, it's not like 24, for example, where if you miss...
Last time on TMNT.
Yeah, it's not so necessary, although they do the last time bits if they do need to catch you up. But it's never in your face, and I've just got to say, I like how this is progressing for children's television, because you think about the shows, like, let's look at the 1987 series, they might do the odd callback to when they fought, say, Baxter Stockman or something like that.
Yeah.
They might say, oh, the last time we kicked your butt.
But it was never anything important that you had to have known that to enjoy the series kind of thing, because back then it was all episode was his own standalone universe, almost, you could say.
Well, a lot of the times back with the older cartoons, they would have... Well, even nowadays, sometimes they'll have multiple teams working on cartoons, so they can't always line up because they'll release them at different times.
Well, I think today's audiences, for children especially, are different now than what they were back then in our
age. Oh, for sure.
For example, kids are smarter now, and I like the fact that the show does not... talk down to them. Like I said in my Just the Facts, it's got a mix of the 2003 series more serious tone.
Exactly.
And the jokey version of the 87. It found just the right balance in the show, and I gotta say I'm really impressed. So
that's actually how I market to people that are like, I kinda wanna try it. I'm like, literally it's like mashing the two of the last series together so you get like the best of both.
Yeah, like I find it takes maybe 3 episodes for it to really grow on you. Definitely the opener.
Well, especially if you like really, really liked the original Turtles. Everyone that I know that likes the original Turtles, like you were even one of them.
Yeah.
The first like 3 episodes, you were just like, I don't know if I like the new theme. I don't know if I like this art style. And then after like 5 episodes, you come into me going, I really like this show now.
Episode
it's
5
just getting
sold
good, and it's like. Okay.
Episode 5, I think, is the Baxter Stockman episode.
I think so.
That's the first one that I saw.
It's around there.
And I'm like, you know what? I really like it.
Was the first one you saw? You didn't?
Yeah.
You should have started at 1.
It was on TV in like a random hotel room. I'm like, okay.
Well, I meant when the series launched.
Yeah, when the series...
Not everybody's hardcore.
I came into this late, so let's kind of go around the table. I came in a week ago, more or less. Jamie, when did you get into this?
I saw the previews and everything... actually, I think I stumbled on it on YouTube, and I was just like, what? So the actual launch day, I can't remember what day it was, because I'm terrible with dates.
September 9th, 2012.
Was that what it is?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I saw that, like, the release day, and the first 3 or 4 episodes, actually, me and Tiffany were trying to watch every time one would launch, we would watch it on TV, and that I don't watch TV. So me going to track down my brother's like cable box and actually looking up the show was rare. After probably halfway through the season, I started getting really busy because I think they did one of those intermission things where they take a couple months off and then they start releasing. So as soon as they did that, I kind of lost touch with when they were coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it hasn't been more than 2 weeks without me catching up.
Which is something, I don't like how a lot of shows do that. They take like a mid-season break and then it's like 8 weeks till it comes back.
It's a new fad they're doing and I don't know how I feel about it.
Doctor Who and Walking Dead. It just annoys the ever-living
takes you out of it.
Yeah, it really does. Although, with the series, I find you get back into it quick.
Well, not to mention, a lot of people have told... Well, people that I know within the industries, they're saying one of the major reasons they do that is that they're going to crank out better quality and less filler. Which... honestly, with the shows that are doing the mid-season break, like with TMNT doing it, like you said, you can watch all of them and it never really seems to drag or anything. So maybe that's because of that. Maybe they have more quality.
Yeah, there never seems to be a real wasted episode. There's a few that you could do without.
But they generally just seem to do a lot of character development, which is one of the things they stressed in a lot of the interviews, is they wanted the four individual turtles to actually have very unique personalities and have them develop through the series, which you can definitely tell that in the shows, or
absolutely,
like each episode.
Scotty, what about you? When did you find yourself in this?
Probably at the same time as you, though, Mike, a week and a bit ago, maybe? My sister had been watching it for a while and telling me about it, and I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. I don't know if I can get into it. It's new Turtles. Who knows if it's going to be as fun as the other ones? And I was very surprised, actually. I think it had a very good blend between the 87 and the 03 series.
Now, what is it about it that kept your interest? Because to marathon through a series, that's a time commitment. And
yeah,
you and I are pretty busy.
I think it really was the proper melting pot between the humor and silliness of the 87 Turtles and the action sequences of the 03. I think they really melted those two together very well.
Mm-hmm. I actually find that this series has the best combat out of all three of them. Like, even the 2003 series, they were known for like their gritty and being like having combat and all that, but I really like the fights more in the newest series here.
Yeah, that's something else that I didn't quite expect from this. The combat feels like it's got weight to it. It doesn't feel as cartoon goofy. Though the only...
there's the odd moment.
Yeah,
like
throwing the thing of bees into Baxter's face.
Yeah.
Which was friggin' hilarious. One of the things I really liked about this, I mean, I guess we can kind of move on to talk about the season. One of the things I really didn't expect to enjoy as much, because I only know the character from the 2003 series and not very well, was the character of Karai.
Yeah, and she was originally introduced in the comics, and she was heavily in the 2003 series.
And here, they've changed her background from what I can tell. Once again, I'm not going to give that part away, because I think it's... I kind of figured it out around episode, like, I think it was like 18. I'm like, oh, crap.
Honestly, it's one of those things that now that I know, I don't know why I didn't see it coming, but it completely caught me by surprise. So I was like, wait, why did I not see this?
I'm like, all right, that's pretty cool. And she's voiced by Kelly Hugh, who I think she was in The Scorpion King or something. I think she played, no. I can't remember if she was from the Mummy movies. I want to say... I don't know. I'm going to have to get back to you on that. I think she's in Hawaii 5-0, either way.
Yeah, she was in The Scorpion King. Yeah, she was, I remember.
Was she the Scorpion King's queen or whatever? Anox on a Moon or whatever it was?
I don't remember that much, though, but I remember the name. I know she's in, and she's in Hawaii 5-0, for
yeah.
sure.
I'm terrible with voice actors' names and stuff, well, so I don't know.
Well, let's talk about the voice actors for this show, and let's, because you...
I think they've all done a phenomenal job.
Yeah, I can't think of one really bad performance. The one that surprised me the most, Jason Biggs.
Yeah, me too.
Like, you're the guy from American Pie who had sex with the pie.
Oh, he's Leo, isn't he?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, holy crap. And he channels that Cam Clark from the 87 series without being goofy about it. There's only been a few times where I can sense the break in his voice. I'm like, that's Jason Biggs. But there's just time where it works.
Well, yeah, I mean, he really does fit the Leo character that they're building within this series. There's actually one voice actor that I did not see this coming, and at first, this is another one of those, everyone kind of goes, I don't know if I like it, and then you grow to love it. Donatello's voice is the same voice from the original series of Raphael.
Yeah, that's Rob Paulsen.
Rob Paulsen, yeah. I actually, now that I've been watching the new series, I feel he fits better into Donatello.
Yeah, there's something more about his role as Donnie. I think he gets a chance to play more, and I wonder if he has any input on the scripts.
Yeah.
Just because it never seems unnatural, anything coming out of his mouth.
Which is kind of, like, you think that the odd time it would be unnatural because he says these things that are so nerdy that you're like, what?
There's one episode in particular. It's right near the end of the season where they're talking about the Foot Clan the Krang or the Foot are trying to get this interdimensional particle thing, and Mikey's like, oh, it'll make things go boom, right? And he's like, well, actually, no, it makes things go. And he's like, accuracy, guys, get it right. And yeah. I'm just thinking, wow. And it's little character moments like that that really drive the show. In fact, in my opinion, the heart of the show has almost always been Michelangelo, and that's done by Greg Sites, the guy that played Beast Boy on Teen Titans. Everything that comes out of this guy's mouth is gold.
Yeah.
Yeah, almost it's really everything. Good. All the naming he does is hilarious.
See, I know there was a lot of original and 2003 fanboys that were like, they don't like the fact that they've made Mikey in this one almost seem stupid. But the thing is he's not.
He's an
stupid.
Idiot savant. He's like Rain Man with nunchucks.
Yeah, they're forgetting that Splinter himself in this series has said Michelangelo is actually the most talented out of all of the turtles. He just slacks off so much that he's about the same skill as them because he doesn't train. He's just naturally skilled. So I think that's really cool that they've got that in there for him, but they've also got his silly side where he's just like, it's not that he's stupid, he's basically ADD.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Which is awesome.
It's like, you know, someone dropped him on his head.
Probably Raphael.
That's exactly where I was going to go next. Sean Austin, the guy who played, Mr. Frodo from...
Mr. Frodo!
Second Breakfast from Lord of the Rings there, Samwise Gamgee.
That's who he is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god! That's awesome!
See, you would know this if you listened to Just the Facts. Hi, buddy.
I read most of it, and I listened to some of it, and then I was playing on my phone. Anyway.
Oh, that stupid Candy Crush, no.
Well, when it comes to names and voice, even if I read that or heard it, I told
us how bad
like,
he is with names on our anime show.
Yeah.
He's like, the guy true. Who does this character. I don't know his name.
And then he goes on to complain about how Tiffany knows everything about voice actors.
Oh yeah.
I complained that she ruins things by being like, oh, that's the voice actor that does this character. So then it's like, well, when I was playing Final Fantasy X,
yeah,
it was like, yeah, Waka is Bender from Futurama. And what? Then whenever I was anything Waka said, I then basically at the end of it was like, bite my shiny metal ass.
See, I would constantly hear him as Jake the dog Adventure Time.
It was bad too because every time I started, like, I would watch Futurama, then I heard Waka, and it was like, oh my god, everything's ruined for me. Anyway, back to Turtles.
Sean Austin's performance, I like him as Raph. I think sometimes the writing for him is almost inconsistent. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes he comes off as genuinely angry, that hot-headed thing, but other times it just seems forced for the sake of conflict. Most of the characters on this show, I feel, are remarkably well-written. Raph is the only one I feel that maybe gets a little shortchanged.
I don't know. See, a lot of the classic fans are like, well, why is he angry? Well, I haven't read all the comics. I think he's seen as a more hot-headed, but he was like that in the first movie as well.
Yeah.
It gives him a more individual personality
than
being
that huge
being
kind of chip on his
shoulder. Crude guy.
Yeah.
Like, the crude guy that breaks the fourth wall in the original series. That wasn't really that much.
Yeah.
So, it gives him more of a personality that he's the kind of hothead that, and the brute, which...
Which he's the guy who goes the most balls to the wall when it comes to fighting.
But see, they also have that kind of the funny side of him too, where they put
picks on Mike.
Yeah, they've got him as like, well, he's the brute, so he's picking on the youngest brother, which is Mike.
You know, there. All right, let's talk about family dynamics, actually, on this show. When you look at the cast as a whole, and I'm talking April and Splinter included in this, too, because they're more or less one giant family.
Yeah.
Tremendously well-written. Like, oh, you really sure. get this really this cool vibe that they are a family. There's actually a concern
see,
for
the
each
funny
other.
Thing about that is, in all of the older series, you could see that, like, they tried to force that almost with the high fives and all that.
It felt very cartoony, yeah. very, very cartoony.
And there was always...
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say, it always felt like, especially with April, that she was just, like, their good friend, and they kind of, like, almost tried to force her into being... It seemed like a family, but this one, it did feel a lot more natural, like you're saying. Like, she's hanging, living there, basically, now.
Yeah.
And they are family.
Like, well, especially her bond with Splinter, right? Because he's training her, and he's got, you know, past issues with a daughter, so he's kind of starting to grow on her and all that.
And you can kind of see how April's looking for that father figure, too. And I really kind of like that, too. One of the things I'm unexpectedly enjoying about this show is the potential romance between some of the characters. And April and Donnie, it's like watching two teenagers just go back and forth, like, I like you, I kind of like you.
Yeah, it's really cute. And I know...
It's very grade six.
You're going to have people that are like, well, she's human and he's a turtle. And it's like, you know what? That's not what it's about. It's about it being cute and funny. Because he goes all nerdy and blushes and falls over and all that. Like, mm-hmm. if she even, like, pokes him.
Yeah.
Well, like, even the scene when he has Metalhead.
Oh yeah, he's just randomly talking over it.
He's accidentally talking through the the microphone.
She can't see me. She can't see me watching her. You know, it's not muted, right? I mean, I know.
It's funny because she's, like, so nonchalant about it. Like, she's like, whatever.
And then he goes to the megaphone because he forgets.
Yeah.
And I think that's a credit to the voice actors. That's Mae Whitman, I think her name is. And she played George Michael's girlfriend on Arrested Development. And the lesbian... And she was the lesbian ex-girlfriend of Scott Pilgrim. She was Roxy.
Oh, yes. I don't know why I said maybe. We're thinking of Amy, is what I meant to say.
And there's just something about...
Anne, Jesus.
There's something about... It's an inflection in her voice that I like. And I'm pretty sure, because I've interviewed a lot of voice actors, and they don't often record as ensemble cast. And I don't know, there's a nice talent there. And I know she's done a lot of other voices, too, for stuff. And just the chemistry between her... and Donatello is better than, I think, Leonardo and Karai, which happens later on.
Well, they're trying to make that one a little more
adversarial,
and,
maybe?
Yeah, more like rivals and stuff.
That whole Romeo and Juliet crap where it's, you're from here, I'm from there?
Yeah, okay. It's...
I want to give you a fun fact, because we're talking about Mae Whitman.
Yeah.
You know who her mom was?
No.
Her mom is Pat Musick, who voiced Mona Lisa in the 1987 cartoon.
Huh.
That's weird.
Weird.
Moving on.
Just wanted to bring that up. I thought it was kind of cool. Turtles family thing. It's funny how you see that in old TV shows or old cartoons. Like, parents are voice acting and their children somehow get involved with newer iterations of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, I find it really awesome. And, like, it really brings you in, like you were saying, the family aspect. But it's not just the family aspect. It's... the relationships between certain characters. Like, in the old Turtles, there was always you had this random brotherly bond, usually between Leo and Raph, and then there is a little bit of a thing going between Mike and Donatello,
I think Mike would maybe get I'm more mature than I look moments than he would a brotherly bond thing. Once again, it may just be a flaw in some of the early writing.
Yeah, but I'm saying those for the older series. For this series, there's just so many different relationships that you really, get into the characters, right?
One character I did not expect to like as much as I did, he appears very early on. He's this black street punk named Zever.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a great episode. I think the episode's called Baxter's Gambit. It's like episode 19, I think, where the Turtles and Dogpan and Fishface get trapped in Baxter Stockman's Maze of Doom. I'll get to that later. He's telling Raphael his life story. And there's just I really like that character. I mean, in the beginning, I just thought he was some arrogant punk who just happened to be as good as Bradford. He was like, you know, he was supposed to be that cool greaser bad guy, right? Mm-hmm. But you find out how he was sent to jail and Shredder found him and raised him more or less to be a Foot's dirty hitman.
There's even another thing. See, there's another relationship between a rivalry between Raphael and him. That's why he ends up telling him this stuff.
Yeah, it's like they respect each other just enough to not kill each other.
Yeah.
And I like that too because you get the feeling that if they were to fight to the death, I have a feeling they might back each other off, say, you know what, let's come back at this tomorrow when you're better. You know what? I almost get the sense of a Goku-esque approach to fighting from Raphael, that I must constantly improve, I must find stronger opponents every time.
He's just the thrill of the fight, right?
Yeah. The only time I say this maybe breaks is when they fight the cockroach Terminator, because he gets all fearful. Which, I like that character up until he molts. He turns into the giant maggot flying thing.
Yeah. But hey, you gotta do that kind of thing.
Well, there's another thing to talk about villains, too. I mean, like I said, we were just talking about Zever. Chris Bradford, I loved how Michelangelo got his heart broke.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that. He's just so
we're Facebook friends.
Yeah, I got a Facebook friend.
And he's like, yeah, unfriend.
Like
this big dramatic moment. And you can still feel him being hurt throughout the series. Like, you betrayed me.
Yeah.
Like, there were just little interactions there between Greg and Clancy Brown. Once again, inflection in the voice and the performance. It really
I've
works.
I've actually got a question for you. You might know. Do they actually record together or they're all separate?
For this particular series, I don't know. Oh. Like, a lot of voice actors record their pieces separate.
Because they're some so good ensemble. That it just feels like they might all be recording together when they do it. Like,
I would kind of wonder with this particular show, actually. Because once again, the responses feel so good. But then again, when you look at Jennifer Hale's performance from, say, Mass Effect, she's never in the same studio as, say, DC Douglas as Legion or the girl that plays Liara. Yet the emotion and the inflection's there. So I think this really goes to their credit as actors. One guy I like, and I want to hear more of him because you don't hear a whole lot of him during the show, really, is Shredder, and that's Kevin Michael Richardson. The moments he gets with Shredder, or the moments he gets with Splinter, are intense. Like during the season finale, that's intense.
Oh, yeah, and, sure.
And then when he's talking to Karai about, you know, her past and everything, just, that's intense. And
well,
I like
see,
that.
See, the thing is, like, yeah, he doesn't talk much, but when he does talk, it's impactful.
Yeah, like,
he's
it
one
means
of those,
something.
I don't need to talk. When I talk, you listen. Will listen.
Yeah. Very dominating and authoritative voice he has, for sure. Really, like, when you see him talking with, Chris Bradford, and he's like, you failed me, and he just throws out his claws. I was like, he's gonna kill him. Like, I just really got that. Like, I was back with a kid, and I was like, no, he's gonna die.
That's another thing to notice about this show, too. I mean, if you watch the history of animation, back in the 80s, they never said, I'm going to kill you. You might hear the odd, we're going to die, but never, I'm dead. I'm going to kill you. Your life ends here. You know, basically very violent, direct threats. In this series, they say kill and die a lot. And I really think that says something about how the particular cartoon culture has evolved. And
well, it's a hell of a lot more impactful. It makes the show better.
Yeah, like, there are moments.
Well, like Scott said, he actually started to get into it and was like, whoa, shit, he might
the
actually
kill
him.
The blades were out. I was expecting, like, Predator, like, two claws right in the face.
And then just cut the black or something.
Yeah.
That's another thing, too. A lot of Krang die in this show. I mean, literally, man, you might see the odd one scamper out of the armor. But there are ones that get knocked off buildings or blown up. They're dead.
Yeah, they don't really say it, but it's implied.
Yeah, and
I did not expect that. Is one part where you're like, oh, they're dead. One of the newer episodes where there's the Newt.
Newtonator? Neutralizer.
Neutralizer, yeah.
Yeah.
He actually eats two of them. Like, he full-on puts them in his mouth, and he's just like, oh.
Damn Danny Trejo.
Like, there's moments of intensity that I've never seen in any other Turtles incarnation, and I really think that's a credit, once again, to the show's writing staff.
Well, there's those, in the other incarnations, there is those moments, but it's, like,
they're fewer and far between. Yeah. Here, there's a constant sense of danger. Like, whenever Shredder appears, I really get the feeling that at any time, if he wanted to kill someone, he probably would.
Yeah.
Like, he's got that blind rage, but it's contained enough where if he wants to throw down, he will.
Well, I mean, also, like, I think it might have been near the mid-season where the Turtles had just got themselves so built up because they'd been beating all these people. And then, and you had Splinter basically saying,
change weapons?
You might think you're good, but, if you face the Shredder, you will die.
Yeah.
And sure enough, they got cocky and they ended up fighting the Shredder, and he obliterated them.
Yeah, he handed them their ass.
And then, you know, for the next episode or two, they were basically like, let's not go up to the surface. We're scared,
Well, that's another thing,
they
too.
They feared for their life.
Yeah, they made Shredder a credible threat. Unlike 87's series, they were afraid of Shredder because he maybe had the mutagen gun. But other than that, he's he's an idiot.
Yeah.
And all the innocent bystanders, get their lives destroyed by mutagen.
That's another thing, too. They've made mutagen not as common as it was in the old. They're not running into Mutant of the Week. I think some of the bad guys are a little weak in design. For example, I'm not a big fan of Spider Bites, the guy with the phone.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Or Snakeweed. I don't mind, what was it? I love Leatherhead. I hope he comes back a lot.
Well, Leatherhead's in every one of them,
yeah,
right?
But he's normally a bad guy. Here he's a good guy.
Well, in 2003 he was kind of like in the new one where he's bad but good, depending on the situation.
I'm trying to think if there's any other. Their new design for Mutagen Man reminds me of a bad guy from Earthbound. Just not a huge fan of that one, but I think in some of the season 2 promos he looks better. He's actually got a containment suit or something.
Yeah.
I actually don't remember if I've seen any pictures of him.
Yeah, he was.
See, I'm one of those people that when I'm really enjoying a show, I try to avoid any media towards the upcoming stuff.
Same here. I avoided all Breaking Bad stuff this year, which I'm so sad that ends in just a few weeks.
Well, I hate spoilers. As most people do.
I'm trying to think of other characters who get their moment to shine. I like the deceptive nature that we got from Clancy Brown as Dog Pound, once again, in one of the very early episodes before he does mutate with Michelangelo. Once again, you just get a really great performance out of him, and the character arc, I think you get more out of Zever than you do out of Bradford, because I think
a little bit, but it might just be the, they might be
that episode
the,
arc,
the next thing? Episodes or something might have to do with Bradford some more or whatever.
I kind of wonder if he'll become an ally of them down the road, because you see the Shredder kick the crap out of him so often. And that's another thing, too. There's no Bebop and Rocksteady, and I don't miss them.
Yeah, really, because it's Bebop and Rocksteady they were awesome back in the day, but nowadays, with this series, if they made them and they were just as goofy as they were before, it'd be it just wouldn't fit.
Actually expecting them because, again, I didn't really look in advance who's going to be in this show. And I was actually expecting, at first with Snake, I thought he was going to become one of them. When I watched it for the first time, I was like, maybe we'll see Bebop or Rocksteady. Maybe that's what he'll become with this mutagen.
I kind of hope they do
bring
them back.
They could still come.
And I wonder if they'll be allies this time around. I like how the show is taking risks.
Isn't there a rumor that Slash is coming in?
I think he's confirmed for season 2. The Slash is confirmed, the Fugitoid, Flaming Carrot. That's one I did not expect at all, because I think it,
Flaming Carrot.
Yeah, I remember.
You can hear Scott typing there. He's like, I gotta look this up.
I remember this from a Wizard magazine back in the 90s. It was flaming carrot, milk and cheese, and too much coffee, man. I think they exist in the same universe. I'm probably wrong, like, way wrong.
I don't know, so I'm not going to say
But it was
anything.
So weird.
He's from Polkaville.
Yeah.
Palookaville. I thought it said Polkaville. I was like, Polka.
And they're randomly going to put the flaming carrot in the show, which, that's pretty ballsy, actually.
Okay, I'll believe it when I see it and judge it when I see it.
I'd like them to put in Usagi Yojimbo, the samurai rabbit guy.
Yeah.
He'd be pretty cool to
bring in. He had a pretty big role in 2003's, the series.
See, that's the one series I never watched the entire way through. I got bored.
I think this is also going to be the first series... Well, I guess it wasn't really in the original. Casey Jones and April usually end up becoming an item. But I don't see that really happening with the way Donnie and her are.
Love triangle.
Oh, that could be, yeah. They're supposed to introduce him next season too, right?
Yep.
Casey Jones. I'm excited for that. I want to see how they make his character. Because I'm hoping they make him as brutal as he's in the like comics and stuff.
I'm trying to think of like characters that I would love to see... Wingnut and Screwloose. I remember them more from the Archie comics than I do anybody else.
Well,
actually, this
they were
series...
mostly the Archie comics and just the like TMNT Tournament Fighters game, right?
Yeah.
Were they in the original series?
Yep. For like one episode, I think.
Oh, okay.
There's another one that I'd like to see, and the only reason I say this is because I think it's weird enough that it would work. There's one episode. There's a thing in the comics where the turtles get sent to some intergalactic fighting tournament, and they're sent there by a giant floating cow head called Cuddly the Cowlick. Oddly enough, I could see this working with the 2012 series because they deal a lot with space and aliens and all that thing.
Well, yeah.
Which the redesign to General Tragg and the Rock Soldiers.
Dude,
that
those rock soldiers are badass.
Yeah, because like nothing OP. They do touches them.
They, in one of the episodes, they have a weapon to try to take them apart literally piece by piece, and then he just reforms.
He's like, yep, what are you going to do?
I love
Come
how,
at me, bro.
Like, at the end
I'm a lava rock man.
Well, he like takes them apart and all that, and then he's just like, whew, glad that's over. And it's just like,
he just
reforms, and then he's like, all right, I forgot they could do that.
damn. So, one of the things we're going to do right now, guys, is we're going to talk a little about the toys before we get into our interview with Playmates Chief Turtle Officer, Carl Aronian. And this is something, this is a very interesting conversation, Jamie, you and I had today. We're talking about toys. You collect the classic stuff. I've sold my classic stuff to you. And then when you saw the thing we got today, because we split the box of stuff... You're like, I want those, I want to keep them in package, blah, blah, blah. And then I explained to you, you're paying
I
for packaging.
I noticed a couple things. One, that they were the classic remakes, so they aren't the original ones. That you're paying for packaging, and you can't pose them, you can't, you know, do
certain characters display well in package. Like, I find...
Most of them don't, though.
Some Star Wars stuff does.
Yeah, Star Wars... Like, especially the retro line they just released, I think they look pretty good in package.
Yeah, the Star Wars Black Series.
Those are beautiful.
But one thing that doesn't display well in package, for example, is Transformers. Because it's an interactive medium. You want to play and transform with them.
Yeah.
Nor do any of the Ava figures in package display well, in my opinion.
Yeah, because they're always surrounded by these weird heads and hands and everything.
Yeah, and it just looks ugly. You want to take it out and put the hands in a little box and display it.
But out of the Turtles figures, the... what are the super...
The Classics Collection.
Yeah,
the big ones, the super articulated.
The articulated ones. Yeah, they most of their poses in the box are actually pretty decent. You really kind of opened my eyes. I had that weird mentality that a lot of people have of when you see it in the box, it's like, oh, well, that's worth more, and you know, that's better to have on the shelf, and it's better for your collection. But I was having the video game mentality of, oh, it's still in the box, brand new, sealed, an old video game, and you would never want to open that, but. So when I saw them, I was like, you can't open those. And
it was weird. Like, I used to be the exact same way with all my Star Wars figures, which I sold off a couple years ago. And it's weird because you look at the toy collecting mentality of mock, mint on card, or MSIB, mint in sealed box, stuff like that. And turtle stuff is more interactive than I think a lot of people give it credit for. However, one thing I will say about them is the artwork on the original 1987 toys is almost always fantastic. Like the stuff from the pizza thrower, the turtle blimp, the turtle van, which we actually got today. And I love the...
Well, I already had one, but...
Which is my old one that I had from 2008.
It's one of the few things I didn't have as a kid, because most of my collection is just the stuff I had as a kid. Mm-hmm. And, like, I had the turtle blimp, but it's in most pieces, and I can't actually assemble it, so... And it's got a leak, so you blow it up, and it just kind of goes...
Missing...
Sad blimp.
Yeah, sad blimp.
When I was a kid, I had garbage bags full of Ninja Turtles, and I'm so oh my god, I'm regretting the fact that I don't have these. I remember this specifically. My parents had a 27-inch television box. That was my toy box. That was filled 3/4 of the way up with turtles and vehicles and everything else. And my god, am I kicking myself in the ass now? With the newer series. They're a little bit smaller than the original ones. Like the original ones are 4 inches.
It's not that they're smaller; they're a different
scale.
Style.
Yeah, different like, scale and style.
Well, see, the odd time, like when I actually compared them, they seemed like they were a lot skinnier almost, but they were in their own style of scale. So sometimes they were each turtle is unique, right? So you got Donatello. Donatello will actually be taller than his old counterpart. But he's a lot skinnier, whereas Raphael will be bulkier, but he's shorter.
So yeah, they're they have not just recycling the same mold.
Yeah.
Which is something that I definitely think is a credit to. I also like how
they have a lot of detail, too.
The vehicles are better made in this line. Like, one of the things I love is I'm a huge vehicle guy. The Shell Razor is definitely a worthy successor to the Turtle Van, definitely to the Battle Van from the TMNT 2003 series. And one of the things that I like, too, and this was a figure I gave to my cousin last year, because I figured he's a huge Turtles fan, too, so he'd appreciate it, was the Stealth Bike. And
I thought that was really cool.
The thing that it transforms.
Both in the show and the actual toy.
Now, one of the things that makes me really sad, but I'm really glad it went to someone who gives a crap, the Turtles playset. I gave that to you because you were a Turtles fan and thinking, you know what, I can't display it. It should go to someone who cares.
See, at the time, I was able to display it. Now I'm moved into an apartment. I'm contemplating telling Tiffany that she can't sleep in the bed, or I'm just going to put it against the wall, and I'm going to display that.
I really think you should.
I should.
Because I think that would look amazingly badass.
Well, I mean, the artwork on the box and everything. Like, yeah, it looks awesome. And
it's Toys R Us exclusive.
I don't have all of the first line toys, but
you're only missing like two or three.
Really. I think I need like April and Foot Soldier. So Dog Pound
and Fish Face.
Dog Pound and Fish Face because they weren't technically in the very first run, but they're still classes. I think.
Yeah,
like,
basically you want the no frills 4-inch line.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, and that's
I wouldn't mind getting some of the Battle Shell ones. They're the what? The 12-inch ones. They're basically the exact same as the little ones, but they're huge, mm-hmm. and their shell actually opens up and contains all their weapons, shurikens, all that stuff. It's really cool.
One of the ones that we got today, I love the scale on these figures. It's the Dojo line.
Which I don't think is released just yet.
I'm not
100%
sure.
Or it might be coming out, it might have came out this week. I'm not sure. It's very soon.
Yeah, if not soon, it's remarkably recent.
Yeah.
I like that. The fact that these things are about a foot tall. They're huge. The articulation on them is not as bad as I thought they were going to be, actually. And they're dressed in samurai training armor. Like, the stuff, if you went to do...
Well, each of them has a unique one, right?
Yeah.
So, like, we got a Leo there.
And he's got the two Bokens.
Yeah, he's got two of the... You know, training katanas, and his garb is like a full. It's almost like a cross between. It's like a leather kimono almost. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you look at the back of the box, it shows the other three. Like Michelangelo is wearing it almost looks like he's wearing some sports pads and stuff. Because, he's the goofy one, so he wouldn't really want to wear a kimono.
Yeah, it like suits a his like, kind of character.
And I think Raphael was wearing some more like modern armor, like modern armor and stuff, because, well, it's Raphael. But yeah, like, that's one of the great things about the new toys over the older style ones, is they transfer that personality into them. They don't just go, oh, well, they're all going to look pretty much the same, just different colored headbands and
weapons. One of the things we got today, the only person I think that could wear this might be Scotty.
What is it?
We got this little thing called the Battle Shell.
Wear it already.
It's a turtle backpack that doubles as a shield.
Well, it's not even really a backpack. It's just like a back plate that you can put on.
Yes.
And it can be a shield, but the only thing I could get it to go around was my arm.
I'd wear it every day.
It's meant for kids.
You both know this to be true.
I think you need to wear it to work during Halloween and go, I'm a Ninja Turtle.
We at least got to look at it and stuff. I wish they had thrown in the weapons for it, too.
Yeah, because there are slots for it.
Yeah, because then we could just see how it works and all that and, you know, give a proper review. But, it looks like for a kid, like a younger kid, it would look really cool on them.
One of the things I did not expect you to enjoy was the flingers.
Yeah, see...
Turtles are known for gimmicks.
Turtles are known for gimmicks, and especially like the old ones and the new ones, but the new ones here, I have heard and seen reviews on the Turtles ooze flingers, and basically
they're not so good.
It's one of the weirdest, oddest, just full-on gimmick out there. And the next line here, they're just being called flingers.
Yeah.
We got three different ones. One was a flinger, which it was Raphael Flinger. He wears a little backpack that actually...
He throws knives.
You put in a couple psi.
Yeah.
And what it is you, like, almost pretty much wind him up with his feet by moving him on the ground. And it whatever the mechanic is inside it makes his arm slowly crank back. And then it grabs, like, it like, perfectly grabs onto one of these psi. And then the next click makes him fling it. And it was like...
There's some power behind
it. Well, the thing is, you had some of the other turtles lined up because you were looking at them, and I'm doing this, and it flung and smoked one of them, and they fell over. I was it was
Donnie.
Powerful.
Yeah, just...
And I was like, wow.
Yeah, like...
And the funny thing is, because his backpack's on, like, a three-click system, so after the first one, he throws that one, and then it slides to the next psi. So you can do three in a row, and it'll just slide and do the next ones.
And that's engineering. That's toy engineering coming such a long way.
Like it's sad to say, but that was some of the most fun I've had with a toy since I played with the original Turtles way back when. And I was like, wow, this is friggin' cool.
And look forward to more Turtle reviews on the review shows and everything else coming up in the future. But guys, we are going to take a small break. We've been talking for quite some time. We're going to listen to an interview I did with Chief Turtle Officer Carl Aronian. We're going to talk about some of the toys, and we'll be back right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net's topic show for the month of August.
I'd better get Splinter. We don't really need...
Michelangelo said you wanted to see me.
Hey guys, you're listening to This Week in Geek's topic show for the month of August. We are celebrating Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and in specifically, well, the new series has just ended its season back earlier this month, and well, I have a chance to talk with one of the guys who develops some of the toys for the line, and I'm talking about Carl Aronian. You may remember him. We talked with him last year talking about Ninja Turtles, and now that the first season's come to an end, the second season's going to start up sometime in September. I wanted to talk with Carl and see what's going to be coming up for the line in the coming year and maybe a little bit beyond that. So without any further ado, Carl, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing tremendously well. So it's been a year since we've last talked, and what's happening to our heroes in a half shell now that the first season's over and you've got the first line of toys out? What were some of the biggest successes you've had in the past year?
Well, you know, the line in total really performed, and maybe even more than we ever would have expected or imagined. And it only took us a few months to go from you know, being on a hiatus for a number of years to being the number one action figure line again. So that was a pleasant surprise.
So now that you've had a chance to, like I said, kind of get that energy back that happened in the late 80s, early 90s with all the toys coming out and, like I said, being super successful, are you maybe having a chance to revisit some older ideas that didn't make it into the older lines into the newer one?
Well, I'll tell you the one area where, you know, some of the older ideas and newer ones are kind of melding, and that is in role play, because role play has just gone crazy. And, you know, we thought it would be a nice segment of Turtles, like it's always been, but it's one of the drivers now, and we just cannot keep up with the demand across the board on role play, whether it's the basic role play sets, which, you know, essentially gives you the fabric bandana and the basic signature weapons, or our new masks, which are plastic turtle masks you can Velcro on, or even the new back shell. They're all just vaporizing. So, yeah, that has been a pleasant surprise, just that segment alone. And then I think, you know, the other pleasant surprise has been the larger figures, what we call giant 11-inch figures, which have always been kind of a nice secondary segment for us, and it's huge this time around. I honestly can't even explain why, other than, you know, for $20, it's a great value, and it's a big, chunky action figure.
Now, with a lot of the new kind of figures coming out, you had a really huge kind of playset last year, the sewer playset. How well was that received by fans?
Received very well. You know, I think you know, some of the retailers and fans were skeptical that, you know, a $100 to $150, depending, you know, where it was, playset really had you know, a reason to be in today's world, you know, especially with you know, Lego really taking a lot of that business away. But, you know, we decided to do the lair right this time around, meaning we weren't going to shortchange it by making it you know, a small horizontal environment. We wanted it to be bigger than life and multi-level and, you know, 40 inches tall, 20 plus features, and it vanished in the fall of 2012. It was a Toys R Us exclusive, and this year it'll be one of our top, if not our top item, going into fall 13.
And that's really cool, just to see that the playset is making a comeback. And with this past season on the show, the Krang and the Technodrome, is that going to make a return at some point?
You know what? I'd say right now it's 50-50, especially whether it's the new version of the Technodrome, which is kind of without wheels, or whether we bring back the classic version and kind of please everybody, both the original fans and the new fans. So we're kind of mulling that over. But, you know, it definitely, as the kind of iconic headquarters for the bad guys, yeah, it's still an important part of the Turtles lore.
And speaking of bad guys, now you are starting to expand out and have more villains from the show. As season two approaches us in just a couple of weeks, what are some new figures we can look forward to in the line in terms of turtle adversaries?
Well, it's another, you know, surprise, I guess, versus what we've done in the past, which is, normally, you know, your different themes of Turtles, the four Turtles, different iterations of Turtles, are always your most popular figures. They are the four Turtles. They are your four heroes. This time around, we're seeing these mutants and the collecting of the various mutant villains as being immensely popular. So that's the great news. In terms of Season 2, I can't talk too much about it quite yet, other than when it comes to some significant new characters, the biggie's going to be Casey Jones, because he's one of the iconic characters, of course, through all the different iterations of Turtles, and he's coming back in a big way as you know, a companion to April O'Neil at the beginning or during Season 2. So that'll be a big deal.
I'm really looking forward to seeing what you guys bring with the Casey Jones. I'm a big fan of the April design on the show. And one of the, and speaking of designs, one of my favorite figures you guys did last year was the Super Articulated line. Are we going to be seeing more of those coming in the 2014?
Absolutely. You have, of course, the four original Turtles, which we did in 12. We have Bebop and Rocksteady. The first time we've done those two characters in a long time, and they're just getting out there now. And then going into 2014, we are going to do for the very first time the movie One Turtles from 1990. You know, we've done other characters called Movie Turtles, but this is really the first time we're replicating the costumes that Jim Henson created in the 90s for the first few Turtle movies. So those look gorgeous, and you'll see those probably second quarter of next year.
So probably closer to Comic-Con, I'm guessing, right?
Correct.
I gotta say, that just made me incredibly happy to hear that, actually. I'm really excited for that, actually. Wow. So I guess, Carl, as my final question to you, 2014, how much money am I going to spend on Turtles products?
Well, I hope you and others, you know, spend quite a bit, but I think what's really going to be exciting is we'll continue to develop a, you know, very broad line based on the animated show, and that show, I really truly believe, and, you know, I've been involved in Turtles, you know, over the years, the different shows, this is the best Turtle TV show ever. So, you know, making product based on that show is a joy. But then on top of that, you have the movie product and the movie, which will come out now August of 2014. And the design of these characters is very, very different, but there's no mistaking that they are Turtles when you see them. And so you're going to have two very different looks out there next year. And I, you know, and that's besides the collector product that you mentioned a few minutes ago. So I think the fans are going to go nuts.
Now, have you seen any of the newer design? Like, basically, are the new toys in prototype yet for the new movie?
They're in tooling. They're done.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's a much different look than what you've seen before, but there's absolutely no mistaking that they are the Ninja Turtles.
And
so I think everybody's going to love them, and I think, it reflects very much what Turtles are about over the years, just depicted in a much more realistic way. I think it's fantastic.
I got to say, Carl, I'm tremendously excited to see what happens with the new movie. The new show is introducing a new generation of Kids the Turtles. I'm really glad they have just as many cool toys as we had when I was a kid. So thank you, Carl, to you and Playmates for making this stuff frankly friggin' awesome.
Thanks, Mike. It was good talking to you.
Absolutely. So, guys, that was my interview with Carl Aronian, the Chief Turtle Officer over at Playmates Toys. So we're going to join myself, Jamie, and Scotty. We're going to continue talking about the new show and where the franchise is headed. We'll be right back, right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
All right, Mighty Mutants, let's do this.
Mighty Mutants? What, Dancing Dorks was already taken?
Cowabunga, dudes!
That's the wrong catchphrase.
Booyakasha!
Booyakasha!
Which kind of grows on you.
Yeah,
after
when you hear it the first time, you're like, why is this not cowabunga? But then after a while, you're like, Michelangelo's awesome.
It works. So, like I said, thank you to Carl for doing that interview with me. And like I said, big thanks to Paula, too, for helping us get all this stuff out. So hopefully you guys learned something neat during that interview. I know my wallet's going to be hurting in 2014 because I'm excited for the new Turtles movie. With done by Michael Bay's production. I think it's Platinum Dunes, I think is the name of it.
Yeah, Platinum
There's
Dunes.
There's been so
company.
Much media about this. Like,
nothing positive.
Yeah, everybody's like, oh, it's going to be terrible. And it's like, you know what? You look at the photos and stuff of what kind of work they're putting in behind the scenes. And, like, I have no idea what they're going to look like. I know there's a lot of fan art. In fact, the one that you've got up there, that's actually fan art.
I think, oh, really? That's not official?
I'm fairly sure that was a fan art that people pretended were official and freaked out about. It might be, but I don't know.
Yeah, the art that I've seen, I don't know. And actually, we had this theory There's a new TMNT game out on Xbox Live right now called Out of the Shadows. You should avoid it at all costs.
I like it.
I'm gonna... Never mind.
You know what? Watch a Let's Play and decide for yourself. It's only $15, so if you think you might like it...
It's a tough economy, Jamie.
If not, then go buy one of these awesome figures we've been talking about. It's a good compromise. Go look at a Let's Play. There you go.
And they get to punch you in the face if they don't like it. Just once.
Okay.
Each person, one time.
So feedback at thisweekingeek.net if you wish to punch
subject
Jamie.
Line, punch Jamie. In the turtle shell.
You only get that, you only qualify for that if you actually buy the game, play it, and don't like it. Not if you don't think you're going to like it.
Take a picture of you playing the game so we know it's real.
Photoshop is acceptable.
And in return, we'll send you a short video of me being punched in the face by Dodd.
I'm totally down with this. Please, someone do this.
But you have to have, like, full-on proof that you bought
Photoshop
it, played
is acceptable.
It, and hated it. No.
No, I'm the guy who gets... I'm the judge here, so...
I'm the one getting punched in the face.
Well, yeah, so it's biased if you're the one who says, no, you can't. This isn't real.
No,
so a
I'm just
third party,
just
which is me, gets to say it. You can just send an email and say, hi, and he gets punched.
Well, if they send a... yeah, really.
Punch James.
If they send a video, then it's obvious proof. Anyway, let's continue.
Yeah, the new movie, now, the big thing that everyone has seen is April, which is Megan Fox.
You didn't actually finish your thought there. Theory about
Out of the
Shadows.
Sorry.
And right. The art style.
So I wonder if the art style for Out of the Shadows is to kind of get us mentally ready.
It's trying to ease us in.
I hope not.
Yeah, because they look like... They don't look like turtles. You know what it is?
No, see, it's not that they don't look like turtles. It's that they look like turtles.
It's the head, because it's the nostrils that really throw me off. And I know that's a minor nitpick at best, but it throws me right off.
Because they're supposed to look human-y, and they're like turtly, and it's like,
it's like they went one way or the other with it.
They went scientifically accurate Ninja Turtles.
Scientifically accurate Ninja Turtles.
Which I highly recommend you check that out on YouTube. It's amazingly disturbing.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just something about the art I'm not a huge fan of, but I wonder, once again, is this meant to be a transition piece to get people used to it? I mean...
Possibly.
And it's not like the Jim Henson stuff from the 80s and the 90s was bad. Except for Turtles 3, that was bad, and the next mutation was bad. All right, you know, I'm just going to stop talking. I don't know how this is going to look. Now, we've seen shots of the stunt doubles in their suits.
Which, seriously, that's pretty awesome that they're doing full-on turtle mocap suits. Like, really?
Yeah, like, I don't...
Well, no, come on. You got to hand it to them that it's going to be fluent animation then.
Yeah.
Because... They're not going to just have somebody animating it and trying. It's going to be full on a mocap suit the size of it. Like they're wearing turtle shells.
It's going to be really weird. Shell. I also like how in some of the behind the scenes footage, they actually have it color coded too.
Yeah.
So who they're supposed to be?
It's almost like if they forget. Oh yeah. Purple. I'm Donatello.
I really want to see who is playing who on this. So. Entertain the people for 30 seconds, Jamie.
Well, I can talk about Megan Fox being in there and all the media around that. I'll say my personal opinion. I hope they don't cause the character April, being played by Megan Fox, to become over-sexualized like every other movie I've seen her in.
They will, unfortunately. We all know that.
I think she looks the part.
She looks the part, but they're going to go too far.
Yeah, they're going to over-sexualize her. Another one. Now, I'm just reading who got cast. For those of you that have seen Smallville, Alan Ritson is going to be playing Aquaman. Or he played Aquaman, and I think he's supposed to be Raphael. Pete Plozek. Let's see. He's done Parks and Rec. No, he's Leonardo. Well, he's done.
Wait,
a lot
are,
of
so the, are these are going to be the voice actors, or are they the are they the guys doing the mocap suit also
doing the performance?
Voice?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
And Noel Fisher, let's see what he's done.
I do know that there was a lot
he's
of
he's in The Riches.
There's a lot of people saying that all the people for the Turtles weren't really big ticket actors, because I think they were looking more at their voice and their performance rather than the fact that they've been well known, because you're not going to see them anyway.
Let me tell you, anybody who has on their resume Freddy Got Fingered and Max Keeble's Big Move, I think I can respect as the role of, who are you supposed to be? Oh my god, let me look this up.
I like Freddy Got Fingered.
He's supposed to
be Twilight.
Michelangelo. So we can look forward to the guy who played Toad in X-Men Evolution as Michelangelo. And Hamtaro as Stan. The most amazing.
It's the guy from Shameless.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever watched the show.
Heard of it, never seen.
Pretty good show, actually.
And then the guy.
So I actually have a lot of faith.
The guy that. Okay. Who here has seen Seinfeld?
Well.
I
don't watch it religiously back when it was out.
Do you remember Mickey the Dwarf? The guy who's like Kramer's friend? Just say yes. He's Splinter.
Oh.
I'm not sure.
Are they gonna mocap Splinter too? Probably.
They should have got the guy from Game of Thrones.
I haven't seen any
Peter Dinklage is Splinter.
I think that Splinter would be a little bit too short.
And I'm trying to think who else. Evidently somebody from Saturday Night Live has been cast.
Will Arnett wasn't Will Arnett cast, or is that
something? Like, yeah, he's like April's boyfriend.
Yeah, that William Fichtner for
the Shredder.
I think he'll do well.
See, he looks to me like the butthole. I'm always going to see him as the.
You better finish this thought, because I'm trying to figure out how to say it. I'm always going to see him as the butthole.
The stupid jerk captain from Armageddon who points the gun at them. He's like, we're leaving. That, like, I don't see Shredder in him.
I don't know. I do. I see potential from his other movies.
However, I just learned that he's Ken Rosenberg from Grand Theft Auto, so he gets a pass.
okay.
I love Ken. He's like basically Grand Theft's version of Saul Goodman.
Better reach Screech.
I'm a friggin' lawyer.
See, the funny thing is all the things that the media is getting hold of for pictures and stuff, but no one really knows what storyline they're going to go for. I know that
Origin.
At one point people are like, oh my god, they're Teenage Mutant Alien Turtles. Or wait.
Everybody thought that was stupid, though. If they do the alien route.
Well, that's just it. Apparently there was a mix-up, and that was never really the... like. I think what that was is that somebody accidentally leaked something to do with the storyline that was actually... Well, you know how a lot of the series, the mutagen is caused by the aliens.
See,
so there might have been a mix-up there. Either that or maybe I'm entirely wrong. I haven't been reading any of the old scripts or anything.
I'm really hoping by Super Bowl time in just a few months, there's a trailer out.
Well, there will be 100%. They will not give that opportunity up for anything.
But here's the weird thing. Turtles is launching in August. You don't put movies you believe in August. In my opinion, Turtles...
Unless they just don't want to compete with other people.
That's another thing, too, yeah, because I'm not sure
what... Like, what else is coming out in the normal prime time?
I know... Man of Steel 2 is 2015. Avengers 2 is 2015. I don't know, actually, what's coming out next summer. Maybe Transformers 4? I'm not 100% sure of that one either.
Well, if Michael Bay is doing that one as well,
yeah,
maybe that's why, because he wouldn't want to release his two movies near the same time.
Yeah, so...
Because you don't compete with yourself.
I gotta say, I'm a little worried, but the thing
I'm excited to see what happens with everything all around. Like, are they going to destroy my childhood? Are they going to make me like it? Because, I mean, okay, my faith in new stuff with Turtles is out there because of the new cartoon.
Yeah.
They've done well. So it's one of those things of... I know everybody's like, well, Michael Bay is just going to be Turtles exploding and stuff. Well,
but everybody used to like Michael Bay at one point, too. The Rock.
Well, that's just
Armageddon.
It. You know, the reason that people hate certain things that he does is because it's always an IP that they're so attached to that they don't want changed.
I
enjoyed most of the Transformers.
Yeah, same here. But say, I'm a huge Transformers fan. There's problems with them. Oh, God, yeah. But it's okay.
But there's problems with every movie, if you look.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's literally YouTube channels based on movie mess ups.
Like, one of my favorites is a guy called Cinema Sins, and it's called Everything Wrong With Dot Dot Dot. So I guess let's kind of get into our closing thoughts here. I'm glad the franchise has come back in such a strong way, and the new show is such a good gateway for new fans. It's not childish like the 1987
series.
Well,
it's good from both worlds. It's got the serious, but it's also got the fun.
Like, it's a great bridge. It's kind of like Transformers Prime in that regard.
Honestly, I feel like the way they've made it, as long as, you know, you're not super nerd raging that it's not the original, then both people that like the 2003 and the original will like this one. Heck, if you like the original comics, you probably like this one. And if you're even brand new and you're just a kid, you're probably going to love this one.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that sold me, it's the writing and the pacing of the season.
And the cast.
And Jason Biggs. He's honestly the one that impresses me the most. Like, my God, you go from your dad catching you in your happy time to this. That's impressive. That is truly impressive. Scotty, what about you?
Well, I think this series, again, it's melding of the two previous Turtle shows is perfect. Because those Turtle fans who think about it, Mike, are roughly your age, a majority of them. Mm-hmm. Majority of them are having children now. And their kids are at that age where they're going to be watching Ninja Turtles. And this show, parents who loved Turtles when they were a kid could share this with their children now. And still have the same experiences I felt they would have with the 87 series.
I've actually got a pretty awesome story about that thought. My friend, he lives not too far away. He has a coworker. He watches Ninja Turtles as well, but his coworker has a daughter, and apparently every Sunday they watch it together. I know it comes out Saturday, but they would like record it and watch it on Sunday as a daddy-daughter day. And apparently the kid freaked out whenever they did the small break.
I think you should give this person one of the flingers and the backpack.
I don't know them personally, but I could probably try.
You should.
But see, it's just one of those things of, like Scott saying, it's giving the old generation that grew up with Turtles,
it's a good gateway.
Children are going to be able, like, you can watch it together.
Yeah, and that's something you don't get a lot with series. It's either you love it or hate it. There's very few that fall right in between with the perfect mix. So, guys, that's pretty much our topic show for the month of August. But like I said, big thank you to Carl, Paula, and Tanya. You guys have made this show amazingly fun. And next week, me and Jamie have an exclusive interview about...
You have to listen to it.
Yeah, a good 20-minute interview with some guys in general called Swaps Interactive. And they're going to talk about a new TMNT video game and mobile devices.
It's really cool.
Yeah, like, the idea behind this is neat, and I hope their line continues to expand with it, because just think of the possibilities.
Well, I mean, we'll give a small hint that they have a brand new technology that is similar to some technologies that are out right now, but they've expanded upon it, and they've made mobile games for TMNT, so you got your phone and your iPad, or, like, tablets and stuff. And so you can, you know, take TMNT on the go.
Yeah, it'll be something.
I'm excited to hear this.
The art style is actually based on the new series, too.
Yeah, so don't have to worry about that. So anyway, guys, that's going to do it for us here at This Week in Geek. Once again, big thanks to our sponsors of offworlddesigns.com. Once again, don't forget to use promo code BROHOOF to get 10% off your entire order. BigandTallMart.com. Geek10 to get 10%, sorry, off orders $50 or more. GameAccess.ca. Audible.com. Also, forgot to mention this in the beginning of the show. We have a contest going on. We could potentially win a new drawing tablet and get your artwork on a major website and published. So you should check that out on our front page. The link is right there to the contest. I think you've still got a couple weeks to enter. Trust me, if you're a writer and an artist, this could definitely set you up.
It's an invaluable object, having one of those tablets.
As an artist myself, I have a tablet. I don't have one of the crazy awesome high-tech ones, but I would love one. But it makes your life so much easier. It allows that branch from hand-drawn art to digital art just be so much easier. You definitely want one. If you don't have one, definitely check this out.
Yeah, so be sure to check that out, guys. So for This Week in Geek, we have been
Jamie J.J. Johnston.
Michael Blanchard.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, Booyakasha!
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? That 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh, my gosh. Freak. Die. Holy crap. Whoa. Whoa, my god, whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at pronobozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember...
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.